Fiend. Hola, cage fighting connoisseurs. This is Kidnated Bloody Elbow, making a second attempt at the UFC Sweden Care Don't Care preview. Right here, we've got the man who's causing me all my trouble today, Eugene S. Robinson, author of Fight Everything You Ever Wanted to Something or Other. Eugene, what's going on? Tell me you got your connection fixed.
I got it. Hey, it wasn't the connection this time. Last night, I happened to be watching a movie called The Decent One about famed Nazi Heinrich Himmler. See, I got
the
it
decent
in for
one, appropriately
30
titled.
Seconds. And I forgot to charge the battery.
That's pretty feeble, Eugene.
It was that simple. Hey, I'm injured. That's why I'm sitting here in a suit today.
I see. So you go down to the gym in your suit and cheer on your teammates when you're hurt?
I don't think they would describe it as cheering.
You razz and heckle your teammates from the sidelines.
Then it would be jeering.
Jeering, a charming word. All right, so we're here for the Care Don't Care preview. Alexander Gustafsson, Anthony Johnson fighting for a shot at UFC champion John Jones. Big doings. It's going to be on Fox this Saturday, happening in a big arena in Sweden in the middle of the night so that it can be broadcast at UFC North America primetime. This is going to be at the Tele 2 Arena, which I'm told is like the biggest place you can gather Swedes in one place and like, you know, at least in that general vicinity. All right, Eugene. Give us a disclaimer. I'm a frazzled ruined man. I spent 6 minutes, for those of you who missed the magic the first time, talking to myself because Eugene's battery died.
He was up all night
watching Nazi movies.
This is video jujitsu. I win by default. You are spent, and I am fresh and new.
It's true.
Look, this has nothing to do with your skill or talents as a fighter. Has everything to do with the marketing heft. Or
your qualities as a human being.
Has everything to do with the marketing heft behind you, the UFC has placed on you. So don't be a crybaby, a bedwetter, or a malcontent. No hurt feelings were meant or intended. Suck it up, move on, fight a good fight, move from the don't care to the care column, and everything will be all
right. All right, well, let's jump right into this since we've already screwed around enough for several episodes. We've got two fights on the UFC Fight Pass preliminary card. First up, flyweights Neil Seary and Chris Beall.
Don't care.
Let's
start fresh and coming out the box.
Out the box,
strong like an ox.
Okay. I actually do care about Neil Seary, although I do. The name is ringing a bell that associates my violence pleasure centers. He lost to Brad Pickett and beat Phil Harris, but for some reason I remember enjoying his previous fight, so I'm going to take a flyer on the kid and look forward to this one. And then that brings us to heavyweights Victor Pesta and Konstantin Arokin.
Well, who among us? Who
exactly.
Among us hasn't seen Konstantin? Remembers his victorious march to victory over Azagaman.
Exactly. So we're both really fired up for this bout. No, we don't care. Okay.
Hey, you know what? You know, and I have to say, man, I have to say, I am a college graduate.
Well, as we go through every episode, the Ivy League of the West, Stanford, no less.
Stanford.
Not just some state school like I went to.
The whole Fox Sports 1, FS1. And keep in mind, I'm not driving. I don't have a TV. I'm at somebody else's house, sitting on their couch watching.
You're a patient a guest there. I bet you're just real understanding when they have trouble finding the channel. you're like, chips? Give me this. Hey, what channel? Come on, the fights are starting.
In the first 5 seconds, I'm busting out with, do you guys know who I am? So in other words, these are schooled TV people. People who understand how to work their TVs, and they can't find this shit, you know?
It's tricky. And this one, the first two are on UFC Fight Pass. Unless you're in Canada, I'm not sure exactly what's going on. We're hearing
a lot. Fight Pass, but I'm not going to be there like one of those creeps at the football game with the portable TV on his lap, you know?
That's your definition of creep?
Huh?
That's your definition of creep? I always see them
his portable TV and his penis out. How about that?
Okay, well, in that case, yes, that is a little creepy. I always remember the guy at the high school football games or basketball games that would be telling the cheerleaders to jump higher and taking a lot of pictures and, come on, let's see some energy. Click, 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 click.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever had the misfortune of going to an actual gangbang.
No, I really can't plan. I was invited to one once, but the guy was so scary, I was just like, no thanks.
Yeah, you know, you get the sense, you know, the 10 guys, 12 guys there, you always get the sense somewhere in the middle of this something that maybe not everybody's there for the woman, you know what I'm saying?
I would think not. I mean, something about being drawn to, like, the all that, you know, I mean, whatever floats your boat, but...
Never do this. Never. I mean, I've heard.
Yeah, the guy that invited him on, he was a pot dealer I knew in the 90s, and he was an extremely scary dude. I think I've talked about him on the show. Extremely scary and unpleasant.
Just a guy that you want to be naked around.
Exactly. And the sales pitch was something like, hey, this banker's wife wants to get gangbanged. You want to come? And I was like, dude, you're clearly desperate if you're asking me. And so...
That's right. The fact that you have asked me means nothing good is coming from this.
Exactly. And it wasn't like he was seeking me out. I mean, I was just there, and he was on his way out the door, and you know. Anyway,
he probably had a spot in his. He had a spot in his trunk, is what he had. You know.
No telling. It was one of those people I'd never. I deliberately was never alone with. I just. You know, kept him always.
And there was a guy I knew like that at the gym who was so pilled up. He was like, man, you and me, Eugene, we gotta hang out. I go, John, we can't really do that. He was like, why not? I go, because you and I both know it.
No, Eugene, don't die on me. No. You promised you. You're back. All right. You're back.
There you go.
All right. You and John couldn't hang out because
so at some point during the evening, I tell him, I'm going to have to kill you, you know. He was just one of those guys that, you know, with the pills, you know, he was one perpetual apologizer. I'm sorry, I fill in the blank. Last night, I didn't mean to.
I see. Was he like on pep pills or pain pills or?
A combination of pain pills. He is dead now. It shouldn't be a surprise to you.
I see. My brother was telling me. My brother's a geologist and civil engineer. He built the big tunnel there on the way to Big Sur, south of San Francisco, where it used to be the Pacific One along the coast, and now there's a big tunnel. Yeah. And so he took us out there for the holidays and showed us like all the stuff they were doing. And there's some kind of fancy drainage tubes. And he was saying that the genius engineer who invented these things. These are like things when they have an earthquake that the pipes stretch and they don't break.
Yep.
That guy was a big meth head. Now he's dead. So that had nothing to do with anything. But
oh man, well, like I told you guys, I don't know. Look up HEMA drones.
HEMA drones.
HEMA drones.
Is this a technology or a malady?
No, it's a story about a friend of mine named Scott.
I see.
Helped me build my studio, HEMA drones.
Oh, so is it a band, the HEMA drones?
No. Oh. HEMA drones are the Chinese plot to send steamers full of humans and turn them into food, extraterrestrial food.
I see. This seems like a deep hole I might not explore. All right, well, let's move on. We've got the six-fight Fox Sports 1 card. First up, featherweights Mirsad Bektik and Paul Redmond.
Hey, man. Hey, how come I'm having to fucking bust out with all the don't cares first?
Yeah, hey, that makes me seem like I'm a lingerer. I'm just the host.
I don't care
either, although I remember the name Bektik. But
I remember Redmond, but this is not what the price of tea in China.
Exactly. So even though the price of tea is plummeting now, by now you can get just enormous quantities. All right, lightweights, Merabek Taisimov and Anthony Chris Dulu.
I care.
Because it's Greeks versus Russians?
Yes, actually, yes.
I see. But aren't they historically...
Not so much the Greek portion of the equation, but I don't know if anybody's noticed, but whereas, you know, it feels very much like a Japanese fighter thing has crested and fallen, now that we've gotten... as we get further and further away from Fedor, it seems like we have... got some sort of a Russian thing in ascendancy. And I think it could be maybe majorly because they suddenly have other things to worry about in Russia other than, you know, Finkelstein and, you know, was it M1, yeah. have other things to worry about other than, you know, trying to put their thumbs on the scales of up-and-coming fighters. So, and also, we're moving further away from the epicenter, which, you know, the Red Devil Fight Club, which is what Fedor had been part of, which is where Finkelstein's entry comes in, is St. Petersburg-based. So as you get further away from there, so I'm interested. I'm not gonna lay a major claim that there's gonna be, a Russian insurgency, but the reality of it is, you know, when you think about Russian fighters, you think about them in a very different way than when you think about Japanese fighters who have aggressively underperformed as of late.
It's true.
With the exception of Horiguchi.
Yes, but most of these guys are Dagestani, which is another distinction to be made. But Taisimov is 2-1 in the UFC, so he's medium promising. But now we've got one that I know you're going to care about. I know I do. Light heavyweight Stanislav Nedkov and Nikita Krylov.
Yeah, of course.
Al Capone.
Al Capone, don't call me Scarface.
This kid is fun, man. His fighting style is sloppy. His conditioning, he's down at light heavyweight instead of heavyweight, so this might be an improvement. He's only 22.
Even though I have serious questions about whatever kind of career counseling he's getting.
Any kind of counseling, I don't know.
Man, light heavyweight, now that's the place to be. What are you talking about, man? He should be sending big buckets of Kentucky on Popeye's chicken to D.C. right now. Hope to weigh that guy out of your division, because, you know, I saw DC commentating on this last fight. Dude seems like he's recovered, and nothing like a recovered DC to be angry with the whole rest of the division at his failure to take the top of the division.
I think Karloff has quite a ways to go before he has to worry about Daniel Cormier, though.
That is true.
Yes, I think he'll have to get off these UFC Sweden cards, undercards.
He's also 19, though, right? How old is he?
22. He's 22. Practically 19. All right, yeah. So featherweight Andy Ogle versus Makwan Amerikani. I was just like, yep. I froze because it just hit me that you asked, have you been to a gangbang? I was like, I haven't been asked that one a lot in my life.
Man,
so.
It was like, it's like delayed. It's like a liver shot.
I'm a fairly degenerate person. I mean, I've been around, I've made money, I've done bad things, but now I've never been to a gangbang. So
you
anyway.
Never do this.
And I think I'm too old now anyway.
It's probably the least fun sexual experience you'll have outside of prison.
And so, was this a serial thing that you did many times? Or how long did it take you to learn your lesson?
I'm not talking about me.
I see, what you heard. This guy that you heard all about it from, how many times did he have to go before he learned it, wasn't it?
One time, Jack.
One time.
Hotel security is knocking on the door, you know. The woman had to get up and explain to him, this is my fantasy, you know. There was a guy walking around with a dimpled salad bowl with Fresca and chips in it. Hey, boys, dig in.
Fresca and chips in the same bowl?
No. He had two bowls, one in either hand.
I mean,
I heard from my friend.
Was this the husband, the proud husband?
No, I don't think his name was Frank.
I see. Well,
and you knew. I mean, I don't know, man. It was just, and so my friend who was there was like, well, maybe she's really hot. He couldn't see because she was like on the bed, you know, with two guys, and her hair was in her face, you know. And so he creeps up to the bed, and it's like a horror movie because, of course, you know, everybody's watching, he's creeping up to the bed like he's about to get in there, you know, the third one on the totem pole. And he pulls her hair back, and it was like that scene from Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome when Master Blaster loses his helmet. And he sees, you know, there's his face underneath. And, of course, now he pulls her hair back, the woman looks up at him, and he realizes he's trapped. He can't beat a hasty retreat without offending the host, so... You know, what do you do?
Man. I see. Well, I'm glad to hear that your friend was up to the challenge, because that would be
he
very
told
rude.
Me, he told me never do this.
I'll take your word for it. I'm glad. Better your friend than me. That's
you got that right, Jack.
Boy, yeah, I'm very happy I didn't go with the convicted felon who graciously invited me along. Anyway, Featherweight, Andy Ogle and Makwan Emirkani.
Yes, I care.
Because of Andy Ogle?
Andy Ogle.
He's been in some tedious fights, man.
Yeah, well, you know, what do you mean tedious?
I mean tedious, as in the 15 minutes seem to take years.
You don't like Francis Carmont either.
No, I don't like Francis Carmont.
I like that guy. I like.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure he's a solid man at a gangbang, but like.
Come on, you can't. I completely just change the trajectory of the show. You can't get off of the gangbang thing. Let's go back to Nazis, please.
Scared me. Ogle's riding a 3-fight losing streak, and he's 1-4 in his last five, and his UFC record is 1-4.
Except when you look at a guy like Andy Ogle, I mean, this is one of the things, you know.
His only win was against Josh Grisby, who's facing some legal troubles for assaulting his wife and was on a real fast decline there when Ogle beat him.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I mean, have you noticed a trend pattern in guys who know they're about to cut and how they fight?
Backed into the old desperate dogs fight for their lives.
It's super compelling, man, because you know, in my they shoot horses, don't they weigh, you know, you this is where you learn what people are made of, man. You know, it's like
I think we're about to find out Andy Ogle is not made of the stuff of UFC caliber fighters.
Could be. I mean, it's like you get those guys, if you've ever been a boss, when you tell a guy, if you don't do this, I'm going to fire you. And some people at that point just like completely discombobulated and just fuck up. And it's just like they can't concentrate through that. And then you got the other type who fucking pulls it together and just rides that shit right on through. You know?
Yes, it's true. Although those types tend to be alcoholics, I've noticed, and they careen through moments of great performance, and then as soon as they think everybody's not looking, then it's back off the wagon.
Back, or what I call the high John the Conqueror, which is. It's an old black folktale. If you don't know, you should read it. It's great. You know, I'm gonna have 3-4 great fucking years, and then 2 years of just my middle finger in the air. You know.
Indeed, it's something. I don't know that it's a goal to aspire toward, but it is a path through life some have chosen, allegedly. All right, so you care about Andy Ogle? I'm baffled. All right, welterweights: Kenny Robertson and Sultan Aliyev.
Yeah, I care because Aliyev.
Because of Aliyev. We've cared about Kenny Robertson in the past, although I've ceased to care.
Well, I really enjoyed, you know, his work with in the Gambler. That was some great stuff he did, you know.
I'm more of a I just checked in to see what condition was in.
you're going back for that one.
I'm more the psychedelic Kenny Rogers guy, but
I think he ruined himself with the plastic surgery, but man, that guy's got a voice.
Boy, did he ruin himself with his plastic surgery. But I got to admit, anytime Coward of the County came on when I was sweeping the garage back in the Oklahoma Tire and Supply Store, I was a happy 3.5 minutes, man. You could have heard a pin drop when he stopped and locked the door. All right, so.
Hey, man, when were you working there? What was that, like last month?
That was, yeah. Now, this is when I turned down my National Merit Scholarship to spend an extra year in Borger, Texas for no good reason.
Why did you do that, man?
You know, the application forms, a lot of them required an essay, and I just couldn't, you know.
I got one. You should have gotten one.
I don't know what's
more disappointing.
Which, getting the merit scholarship?
That I got one or you turned it down.
I didn't mean to turn it down. I mean, I just fucked up. So, you know. But anyway, I did learn to play guitar sort of that year, so it was,
okay,
all right. It was time badly spent, either way, no matter how you cut it. Anyway, I got some crucial humbling. How about that? Much needed season.
I get that every day. It's called work.
It is, and I learned it at the other end of the mop. All right, so welterweight Nico Musaki and Albert Tumanov.
I don't give a shit.
I kind of care about Tumanov, but not a great deal. Again, the Dagestani thing, and something in my brain, the recesses of my brain, associates him with pleasing violence. So
that could have been it. Just he beats up his girlfriend. You never know.
Hey, that doesn't please me. And I don't put that on TV.
Jason Mayhem Miller and Jake Shields got into a Twitter war, which I'm going to have to give to Jake because Jake finally busted out with, hey man, the last fight you won, the only fight you won in recent times is gonna get your girlfriend. And then they got very quiet.
yeah, that's always a good line. That's an argument stopper right there.
Yeah, we call that checkmate.
Indeed. I almost busted that out on the singer of a band I was in, but I decided I wanted to keep my teeth, so I just swallowed that one. Anyway, so now we move on to the four-fight main card. This is on Fox, Big Fox, The Network, featherweight Akira Kourasani and Sam Cecilia.
Yep.
Indeed. Yep. Kourasani, both of these guys have been up and down. Neither of them has been a solid performer, but Kourasani, coming off a two-fight losing streak here, so.
Yeah, I was gonna pick Mr. Cicely myself.
Yeah. Who was it we mixed up? Was it Cecilia we mixed up with the guy that fought the Miller brothers?
What do you mean we?
don't you try to get out of this one, Wasabi. Don't you try to get out of this one. You were leading the charge.
I was running across the field after you.
Let's
move this way. Oh, sure, okay.
Not at all. So, and Cecilia's got a loss to Katsunori Kikuno. So these guys are not exactly. It's pretty amazing to me these guys are on Big Fox.
You know, I was in this Dana White, John Jones cocaine thing. Dana was saying, you know, it's hard for me to keep track of the activities of 576 guys. And I was like, oh man, last time I paid attention, the UFC roster was at 375. Man, you know, if people feel like they're being pretty merciless about the cuts, I'd say they're being pretty fucking generous. 500, that's a company, that's not even a company, that's a partial portion of the company at 576 fighters. You know, if you don't have any plans to fight, you're in the UFC, and you don't have any plans to fight in 2015, and you didn't fight in 2014, what the fuck are you doing, man?
I mean...
You know, if somebody wants to make a case for restraint of trade, they're going to have to dig down pretty deep. You know, I mean, because if a guy is 576 in the batting order, there can be made no claim that he's trying to keep him away from Bellator. He's trying to screw up my career. Career? You got no career. You're 576 in the batting order, man. You should just be happier that you see Joe Silva. You start brushing lint off his fucking jacket, Jack.
That reminds me of the day I decided to get out of politics when I said something about my career and the intern in the office started laughing.
Oh, that's a hurtful moment.
That was a dark moment. I was like, man, you know. Anyway, so we kind of care about Kourasani and Cecilia, but
I had a moment like that when I publicly identified some guy. I was sitting with these British guys, and they're like, who's that girl over there then? And I go, that's my girlfriend. And they all got quiet. I was like, God damn it. it was like 72 hours after that before I found out that she was having sex with a Filipino hairdresser.
I see. Man or a woman hairdresser?
Man.
I see. Well, that's what you get. If your girl's going to a straight male hairdresser, shenanigans might be afoot.
I know. I saw that movie with who's that?
Warren Beatty, Shampoo?
Warren Beatty, Shampoo.
Boy, that guy. What a life he led.
Too bad he looks like an old woman now. him and Bruce Jenner. Partying down.
Yeah, the Bruce Jenner situation I find alarming, but I think I got it down to Shalala.
He attempted to brutalize me on a TV show back in New York in the 70s. So
physically? Yeah, you told I got Adonis Shalala that one.
Yeah, Adonis Shalala. I'm not going to tell a story, but Bruce Jenner was a piece of shit.
I see. Well, you know, he won the decathlon Wheaties box, kid.
Yeah, he was about to roid rage on a 16-year-old Eugene. So actually, a 14-year-old Eugene.
At least he didn't tie you to a post and try to strangle you in front of a whole bunch of kids. So.
Oh, actually, somebody's reading Ozzy.
That article caught my attention. But again, like I warned you. Writing a bunch of articles about near brushes with murder seems like bad mojo to me.
That's me knocking on wood. So, actually, it's melamine. Composite materials.
As he works on his next They Tried to Kill Me piece. But anyway, I'm just trying to say.
There are only two more on that series.
I see. Well, I look forward to reading them, but I hope that it ends happily at that point. All right, but now we got light heavyweights Phil Davis and Ryan Bader.
I'm super geeked.
Exactly. Because this is the loser of this is going to the Island of Lost Toys.
Or also known as the Lost Battalion.
The Lost Battalion, you know. Yeah, that's what you call it. But I like the Island of Lost.
Yeah, they're going to look around and go, oh, shit, Junior Dos Santos, I must be in the right play.
Yep.
I'm on my way. What are we doing now, Junior? Oh, we're going to take over the world, my friend. No, we're not, Junior.
Is this some dialogue from your Nazi movie?
Yeah, exactly. A thousand-year Reich. Try 12. You're on the German metric system.
Yeah. So, but Bader's got a three-fight win streak going, and Davis beat Glover Teixeira, so it should be a good scrap.
No, I'm super excited about it. You have a pick?
Of course I've got a pick. Phil Davis all the way. You like Bader here?
Bader's a friend of Knuckle Up. I'm going to have to go with the friend of Knuckle Up.
That is not logical analysis, Eugene.
It's completely insane. I'm not putting money on it, so I don't care.
I see. Do you have anything besides friend of Knuckle Up?
If Knuckle Up be with me, who be against me?
Well, you do have T-shirts.
I do. I was about to buy a Knuckle Up T-shirt the other day. But I was like, man, I got to be crazy.
And what stopped you? What stopped you? Come on.
What's that?
What stopped you? Kid needs the money. Come on.
Yeah, that's it. Isn't there supposed to be some sort of trickle down?
Baby shoes? Baby needs new shoes. Look how worn these things are.
Are those yours?
They're my daughter's. They're actually retired. But look how scuffed and worn they are.
Let me do that again. Are those yours?
Asshole.
I had a friend of mine who was short. He say to me in great bitterness all night, I bet you don't know what it's like to sit in a chair and have your feet not touch the floor. I was like, hey, man, I bet you don't know what it's like to sit in a toilet and have your fucking balls in the water.
Is that because you're old?
Yeah, it's because I have big balls.
I see. Well, I was told by a bunch of old men that at some point in your 50s, which I believe you are, your balls drop and they start teabagging in the toilet.
Yeah, not when you're taking as many steroids as I am.
Allegedly, a friend.
Joke. LOL, kid.
Lulz. All right, so we both care about light heavyweight Phil Davis versus Ryan Bader. I'm picking Phil Davis for a number of reasons based on his athletic abilities and skill set.
And he had a great ride, Bader. Though. He had his cocaine blast was great.
That was a good one. You care to repeat it?
I don't know if I remember it exactly, but I think he said something like, "Oh, Ryan, I can take cocaine now."
Exactly. He was saying, if I'd only known you could do cocaine in the UFC.
That's right. That was fucking great. That was really nice.
That was a moment. All right. And so middleweight.
Actually, I'm going to have to give myself a knuckle up pat on the back. I was super pleased with the Eugene S. Robinson drive-through rehab. I thought that was hilarious. Drive-through rehab. Man, that's
You need
funny.
To copyright that. Trademark
that's,
that.
That's it. Well, I'm putting a claim on it now because I know Rogan's going to be busting loose with this on his show, so I want to lay claim that you heard it here first from me.
I see. You're not going to be like that one of those comedians that's feuded with Rogan over material, are you?
Well, you know, he's accusing Mencia of stealing stuff.
Beyond accusing. I mean, he's stalking Carlos Mencia.
He did that one time. He deserved it. Mencia deserved it.
Mencia sucks. Like, the thing about accusing Mencia of stealing your material is that if Mencia's doing your material, it must be really awful, because that guy's not funny ever.
Well, he hadn't been funny for a little bit, but you know what bothers me most about that? Is that, and Joe made the claim. It's like, hey, man, why don't you pay it forward a little bit? If you're going to steal the stuff, put the guy on, you know? Can't be stealing stuff and leaving people living in refrigerator boxes.
Right? That's true. I think it was Marone. What's the guy with the podcast that has the show on IFC?
Mark Maron.
Mark Maron, yeah. He had a whole episode where he stole somebody's jokes subconsciously and then invited the guy to hang out with him in L.A. and then ends up with a cokehead on his couch for weeks. Anyway, it was a good episode.
Did the guy go?
Go where? Yeah. I mean, by the end of the episode, he was gone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a one episode. I'm
doing the whole Mike Tyson thing from now on. It's just like, you know, when I met Jack Black and the guy was like all being all fucking shirty with me, I was just laughing. I thought it was funny, you know, which I think irked him more than anything that I wasn't taking him seriously. But at this point in my life now, I'm slapping first and asking questions later.
What are you fucking going to do about it? The Mike Tyson line?
Yeah, yeah. What are you going to do about it? You know?
Yeah, well, that's a good one.
A multi-millionaire wants to make fun of me. Slap. What are you going to do? Fuck it. You know?
Exactly.
I'm going to save that for Knuckle Up, so I can't be Donna Shalala. A Jack Black story. That prick.
I see, because you told us that one. Anyway, so now we move on to middleweights, Gegard Mousasi and Dan Henderson. What the fuck is Dan Henderson doing in this fight at middleweight, no less?
I'm super excited about this fight, too. I'm a big Gegard Mousasi fan, so I'm excited.
So you want to see him just beat the piss out of poor old Dan Henderson?
You don't know that's going to happen. You know,
Gegard, I mean, did you see Hendo's last fight?
Yeah, against DC? Yeah, I saw that.
But, I mean, Mousasi's a dangerous guy, too. Hendo's off the TRT, presumably.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that changes things.
And he's slow as all get out now, and just...
Well, I don't care. Gegard needs a win, man.
Gegard does need a win, and this should be a big showcase.
Yeah, I want to see him hang around longer. And, you know, I don't think they'll spend a lot of time on the ground. I think that pride will get the better of both of them. And it'll be a slugfest, you know.
Yeah, Henderson only runs at one speed, and it's not grappling battle. So
yeah, you know, I got Coach Leopoldo Dream Crusher Sorrell sitting here, and he's actually trained with Henderson, and he said that Henderson trains at one speed, which is full blast. So it should be a good fight no matter what. Isn't that right, Dream Crusher? He said yes.
Shouldn't he be working on his internet connection?
He said you should be working on your internet connection. Yes. He said it's my fault.
This time apparently it was.
You didn't know how you would be there.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I'm excited. So you're picking Mousasi.
Of course, and I'm dreading seeing this because I love Hendo and. He's giving
you know
me
what?
Some
but you know,
to
you know,
he's such a badass dude.
If you're a real warrior, there's a certain way. I mean, I like the way Jamie Varner did it. It seemed really fucking classy. But most of the guys have to be shown the door.
You know? Twice in this case, because after that Cormier fight, man, I mean.
You can always make the claim that Cormier was a different kind of cat, but he's an expensive guy to keep around.
Yeah.
And he's going to. He's from Missouri. In the sense that he's going to have to be shown. You see,
but the thing with Bellator sniffing around, like, did you hear the rumors they're signing Krokop back to the UFC?
That's a bad idea.
Strictly to keep him out of Bellator. And so with Bellator sniffing around, they'd sign Hendo up in a heartbeat, put him in there with Tito Ortiz. And
yep, I would pay to see that.
It would be a hoot.
Yep. I would
The pre-fight drama between Hendo and Tito Ortiz, because you can't get two more opposite people than Dan Henderson.
Well,
and Tito Ortiz.
It would be a Hendo Bisping take two, which I love.
Yes, provided Hendo still has the H bomb in his hands. But
I think he does. I wouldn't want to test it.
No, I definitely wouldn't want to test it, particularly not in a bar or you know. It's just like the guy who challenged BJ Penn to go to the parking lot this weekend in Hawaii. Bad idea.
And you know what? You know, I don't know if anybody trains and drinks, but you will note that if you train and drink, that you're fighting at a certain point along that arc. Your fighting after a few drinks is much better than if you had never had any drinks at all. You can cross that line, and you end up like Don Fry in the hotel lobby. That great video. But you know, a couple of drinks, a little bit of lubrication, man, you'll be.
No fear, no pain.
No fear, barambolin guys, daylight heaving guys all over the place. You know, not even know where that came, Matrix style, you know. So.
Yeah, if I saw drunk BJ Penn in a bar, I would be departing immediately.
I was sitting on the toilet this morning watching that Dave Herman video. That was something else.
Dave Herman is the one his wife shot?
My favorite part of the video was, I guess you don't even have to be black.
I do think the police tasered him unnecessarily there, but I also feel like he parlayed what could have been a completely minor traffic stop into a weekend in jail and a tasing for no good reason. I mean,
you know what? He was having car troubles.
He put on his emergency hazards. That's his story.
Right? So he wasn't speeding.
No.
Cops pulled him over for what?
Hazards on. They needed to see, you know, if he had, you know. He was sticking out of the pack, Eugene. That's what cops do. They target the weak and the different.
The guy could have, look, man, my car is fucked up. Pull up next to me. Find out what's going on, you know. I mean, 3 miles is kind of a long way.
Exactly. I mean, I think he probably could have banked on, hey, I'm a white guy with my wife and kid in the car. Probably going to be safe.
But no, this actually makes a point that I've tried to make. You know, I didn't see the beginning where he got out of the car, but based on how amped the cops were, I think the fact that he got out of the car and was the size he was motivated a fear center in the cops' brain, where they're like, fuck this, whatever the problem is, I just need you to turn around and you can talk to me with your face against the car, because they were scared.
They were terrified, and he was turned around, and he did have his hands up, but he kept the stupid ID thing, which I don't even think is a correct reading of Indiana law, not that I'm an expert, but that was just, you know they're cops, just shut up, you know, like.
I'm on the fence, you know, but.
I too am on the fence.
You know, I mean, I'm watching cops respond. I mean, it goes to show you that. You know, the claim that some of my cop friends make that this is not driven by racial animus, which I'll buy. You can see that, yeah, it's probably not in a lot of instances, but what it is driven by is
fear. Like the poor San Francisco PD guys who were so afraid of the quadriplegic that they had to push him out of his wheelchair into the street. Did you see that video?
Yeah.
That was terrible. I mean, because the guy was huge and he had that wheelchair. He could have just rolled. He could have rolled him, man.
Okay. You're going to get me in trouble with my cop friends. Okay.
All right. Anyway, so we're both picking Musasi, though.
Yes.
Okay. So let's move on to the main event. Alexander Gustafsson and Anthony Rumble Johnson. Somebody you could make the mayhem jokes about, the girlfriends, the wives, the ladies. He's got one guilty plea on his record and a couple of police reports alleging unpleasantness with the ladies. But the UFC investigated, said that, you know, they couldn't prove anything.
And he was never nice to me when we trained together at Kung's place. So,
he doesn't have the friend of knuckle up thing that Bader's got
going on. He's the anti-friend of knuckle. Well, actually, no, he has not said, screw you, I'll never appear on your show. But, you know. I think that like the Joy Division song says, made a fatal mistake. I think the Mahler may have made a fatal mistake.
Gustafsson, you think,
you know, all the stuff about when I fight John next, fighting John next, when John faces me next, when I get my belt. Hey, man.
You got a big, scary, talented guy right in front of you. Like, now I want to focus on that.
Well, you're insulted. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to have figured out at a certain point that maybe, you know, maybe Rumble's there. Wait a minute. I think he insulted me.
But, you know, is that really going to make any difference? You've seen how Rumble fights now that he's at light heavyweight. He's just scary no matter what. I mean, Little Nog was perfectly nice to him. That didn't save Little Nog.
Well, so I'm looking at a guy now who has like Hamlet says, a motive and cue for action.
Indeed. I mean, it's like Gustafsson might as well wear a Brent Brookhouse t-shirt to this fight and just say, you know, Brookhouse being the guy who reported on the wife beating alleged allegations.
Well, you know what? Something about this fight. I mean, this is actually a fight that should happen, and it should happen from the point of view of if Gustafsson makes it past Rumble. He really deserves the next shot because he will have he will have reached down into a bag of tricks and pulled off something that shows that he's not been using his time idly.
I think he's got a chance, man. I Johnson is fearsome, and he's going to come forward early and hard, but Gustafsson's got pretty slick boxing technique, and is a big, strong dude, and I think could frustrate
and
Johnson
long.
And long. And if he's watched some of Johnson's footage, I would be coaching the eye poke early. I would go right out there and just poke him in the fucking eye right off the bat and then just send a message and totally discombobulate him. Remember Johnson's face when that Kevin Burns dude poked him in the eye? Like, repeatedly? This is not a guy who handles eye pokes well. That's what I'm trying to say.
That eye poke thing was savage. I can't even watch that footage.
It was brutal, and it was such incompetent reffing. I believe that was Mazzucati, if my memory's right. It was completely appalling, and Johnson had every right to stand there looking completely shocked and appalled and hurt by getting called out for a TKO with the eye poke. But nonetheless, this is the high levels. If you can't handle an eye poke, you can't defend yourself from an eye poke, you might want to look into other things.
So hold on. Are you picking Gustafson? Is that what you're doing?
No, God, no. I'm not picking Gustafson. I'm just saying he's got a chance.
So if you're not picking Gustafson, it means you're picking Rumble.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. In a savage beating.
Okay.
Yeah. But I do think Gustafson has a chance, and it's a good one. I mean, he's not to be taken lightly. He gave John Jones everything he could handle.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to be intimidated by Johnson, especially not in front of a stadium full of bleary-eyed late-night Swedish fans.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So, you know.
I have been thinking that the Erkin and Noy technique has been done purposefully with Rumble first and foremost in mind, but in which case it might be a successful stratagem. But I'm still at the I don't know phase, you know.
Rumble's a really scary guy. I mean, Little Nog is not a simulacrum for John Jones by any means, but the way Johnson just rolled over Little Nog was just kind of like, oh my God, this is a scary monster right here. Yeah. This is. Yeah. It was Sonny Liston-esque, you know. I mean, it just. Yeah. He just has that aura about him now. We'll see. He's had some troubles that kept him out of the cage for a while, and now he's going to get.
Yeah, I haven't seen him look really bad in the cage either.
No, not since he stopped with the weight cut. I mean, the weight cut fiascos were mostly outside the cage. But I think Gustafson's whole card is that I don't think Johnson's a championship rounds fighter. If Gustafson can survive the first round and a half, I think it's his fight.
I think that's safe. That's sagely put. All right, just so we get some action, I'm going to call it for the Mauler.
You're going to pick Gustafson. Wow. Wow.
He's an ex-con.
Allegedly. Allegedly
nothing. The guy was in prison, man.
Prison or jail? He was a teen, wasn't he?
He was in some place with bars on it.
Yep. And the allegations, I believe, were sort of just pure thuggery.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? I get the sense that he could. I want to use the word Hamarsha, and I think he might be a victim of the gods here. You know,
to get that close,
be denied, and then screw up somehow. You know, it's just. I think we're seeing pre-Chael Sonnen, you know, activity kind of.
Maybe. I don't know. There's so many factors here, and I think the fact that this fight is in Sweden, I think that's a big factor here, and I think that's going to be in Gustafson's favor. I mean, the Vikings have a little bit of a reputation, and you know, they're scary people.
Yeah. Not the Vikings who stayed. The Vikings who left, yes. The Vikings who stayed, no.
Good point.
The Vikings
Touché.
Who stayed, Ingmar Bergman.
The Vikings who left play football.
You know?
What about death metal? Swedish death metal? Come on. They dominated the whole genre. All right. Yeah. Anyway, so
I would give that to Norway, but
that was black metal. No, yeah, Sweden
right.
dominated death metal all the way. Right. I prefer.
No, I remember Obituary from Florida. I would lay claim that
Florida went toe to toe with Sweden on the black metal. I mean, on the death metal. I will grant you that. But Sweden had it all over Norway on the death metal.
Yes.
But Norway has it all over.
I was a black metal guy myself.
Me too. I was much more. I don't even. I had to admit, I don't even like death metal the other day. Yeah. I much prefer the synthesizer melody side of the black metal and the screeching.
Leviathan, metal. You know, my dude, my tattoo guy from Jeff Whitehead from Leviathan's on the cover of the new Decibel.
Oh, yeah?
I'm looking forward to reading the interview since his court case, I think, is still pending.
I see. Well.
I just assumed everybody knew that.
Well, you know, I'm not as current on the court case of your tattoo artist as you might be. I mean, the tattoo artist's a pretty responsible position. Are you sure you want somebody having legal troubles putting ink to your skin?
Oh, yeah. He's very careful when he tattoos me.
I see. And he better stay that way. All right. So you're picking Gustafson, again, based on nothing other than just contrariness.
This is clearly not a pick based on firm conviction, but I'm just trying to give you some action. So.
I see, but see, I'm torn about this fight. I don't trust Rumble. I feel like I'm having to trust Rumble, and
that's correct. Correct.
You know, and so anyway, I look forward to. I wish actually, as cool a fight as this is, I really wish that these guys were just both fighting John Jones one after the other. But
no, that's foolish.
You think so?
No, that's foolish. You know, I mean, it's foolish. I could understand Gustafson being irked, but I was okay with him being lapped by DC. I was excited by that fight.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I would prefer to see Jones fight somebody he hasn't fought before in Rumble.
Rumble and Jones should be quite interesting. I think Rumble has the capacity to intimidate Jones straight up in a way that nobody has, that we have never seen anybody before.
Yeah.
So
maybe. I would have thought he would have felt some of that with Quentin Rampage, but that's just me being a Rampage booster.
Yeah, Rampage is too old and too slow and too limited. So anyway, so that's the show. That's our show. Give us a like on YouTube. Subscribe to MMAnation.com on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at KidNate. Eugene is at Eugene S. Robinson. You can also read Eugene at Aussie.com. And are you still writing for Vice's Fightland?
I haven't. But it has mostly to do with the fact that, man, getting paid from those guys is just really, it's really difficult.
I see. Unlike...
I can't wait for 5 weeks, man. No, you guys are really good. You know?
We're on the clockwork.
Yep. I can count on it, and that's the important thing. I can count on it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. So you probably won't be seeing Eugene's work at Vice's Fightland. You'll be reading me at bloodyelbow.com.
Work is still up at Fightland.
Well,
you can
of course,
go there, type in Ness Robinson, you'll get the work. But.
All right, I'm talking about new work, things to look forward to. All right,
yeah.
So Dallas and Connor and Zane will be back tomorrow.
Dallas, tell you about that guy.
Indeed. We'll be back with the vivisection for this card, and then Zane and I and maybe Connor will have the sixth round after the fights. Maybe I'll do a bathroom review, maybe I won't. And then Eugene will have Knuckle Up on Monday. Rinse and repeat as we stumble into UFC. Was it 183, the big Anderson Silva and Nick Diaz fight, which is, a mega care, even though it's...
That's going to be preceded by Anderson Silva marathon to me. I've been invited by a friend over, so that would be an interesting...
Are you going to pick Nick Diaz? No cap?
Yeah, I'll talk about that when the time comes.
All right. Keeping his cards close to the vest.
His multiple arrests. I'll talk about that when the time comes.
When does that time come?
Yeah,
indeed.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. So unlike Chuck Berry, we have a schedule to adhere to. So adios, MMA aficionados. And thanks, Eugene. Glad you worked out your battery problems there with the Nazi documentaries. Adios.